Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the latest on the crew? Let's go inside the clubhouse with Drew Wagner of Forbes Sports on 9 to noon with Kuhn on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Inside the Clubhouse is brought to you by Focus Baseball. Join their fall mini camps at focusbaseball.com.
He covers the Brewers for Forbes Sports and us right here on The Fan and 9 to noon with John Kuhn and me, Rami Makhlouf, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, and powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. He is Andrew Wagner. He joins us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Wags, how are you this morning, my man?
I'm about to cross into the threshold of Flatland, Robbie.
Oh, you're on your way down. You're on your way down to Wrigley, huh? You got toll money?
Yes, the glorified toilets.
You need toll money. You got toll money? You ready to go for this, Wags?
I got some nickels. We're good.
Okay,
we're
good. That's good. How good are
dude? I take 41. I don't give Illinois any more money than I have to.
You take the back road traffic like a psycho. That's incredible. I love that, Wags.
That's dedication right there. Are you
anything if petty?
Are you serious? You take 41 in the side roads down there and not take the highway just to not pay the tolls, Wags?
Absolutely, and there's some dope dispensaries, so like it's a double whammy.
I wouldn't know anything about that. I would not know anything about that, Wags. How good are the vibes in that Brewers clubhouse right now with a 2-0 lead up on the Cubs?
Tommy taught me this phrase, quote, "The vibes are immaculate," end quote.
Yeah, and
did I use that correctly?
Yeah, you did. You used it perfectly. You sounded just like Gen Z right there, Wags. And I don't. My guy here, Brandon Schneid, he says that the pressure is on the Brewers in this one, that they need to close it out in three and not give the Cubs any life in this series. I don't see any pressure on the Brewers in this game three. Not that they can let up. We saw what happened last night when a team let up and the Yankees pulled off a comeback from being down 6-1. But pressure, I don't see any pressure for this baseball team going into this game tonight.
Yeah, that's the kind of comment that makes me think that Brandon may have stopped in the dispenser this morning. I don't think there's any pressure on the Brewers whatsoever. Like, you've got a 2-0 lead. Like, history suggests that the Cubs are going to come back home today and rip one off, and that's fine. Like, the ball is on the Brewers' court. They basically have to win one of three. That's it. If it's today, if it's tomorrow, if it's what would it be, Saturday? Like, I don't see this going five games, four maybe. But I don't think to say there's pressure on the Brewers to wrap it up, like, you know, why? Like, what difference does it make if they do it today versus tomorrow? Like, you got to think their chances are pretty good of taking, you know, one of two or one of three if it comes to that.
Brandon, you want to explain why there's pressure on the Brewers?
I only said it because, Drew, that when you win the first two games, you protect home field, which the Brewers did. You don't want to allow a team. The Cubs are still a good team, right? They won 92 games. They're in the playoffs for a reason. You don't want to drop game three, give them any momentum, because they're kind of playing. I don't want to say house money is probably the wrong term, but they have nothing to lose right now other than the series itself. I know that, but they're already down 2-0. Everybody's saying they're going to lose or that they should lose. So I feel like the pressure is on the team that's up to control the series and close things out. And the Brewers have arguably their second best pitcher. on the mound today in Wrigley Field with the wind blowing in. They have the rest. Their guys are healthy. They're hitting the ball well. Like, it feels like everything's kind of on the shoulders of the Brewers to kind of carry this and finish this, because any life given to Chicago, and they play really well at Wrigley Field, it would be a failure on the Milwaukee side of things.
Here's the thing. If the Brewers lose today, they play again tomorrow.
Correct.
If the Cubs lose today, they're going to play golf tomorrow.
But that's why there's
no pressure
on them.
Those guys. Yeah. I mean, if they want to keep their season alive, yeah. that's basically what it comes down to, right? Like, they're playing for their lives right now. Like, all the pressure is on them. They make a mistake, it's been shown. If they make a mistake, the Brewers are going to punish them for it. Be that a pitching mistake, mislocating a ball, be it mishandling a grounder, any of that stuff. Like, the pressure is on them. Any little mistake, could bring to end a season that, let's face it, they went into it with legitimate World Series hopes. And now they're 27 outs from watching it on TV. Again, Rami, again.
Yeah. Talking with Andrew Wagner on Milwaukee Baseball Insider here on 9 to noon with John Kuhn and me, Rami Makhlouf, on the Gruber Law Hotline. Wags, you know where my loyalties lie, and I was happy with the Craig Counsell hire when the Cubs made it, but watching this series, Pat Murphy is winning the chess match, and I think Craig Counsell took the bait on a number of levels in Game 2 and reacting to a couple of Pat Murphy's moves.
Yeah, the delicate genius isn't having too good of a time right now, is he? Listen, I always thought that Craig Counsell got way too much credit for being a good manager. I mean, he was able to cover a lot of stuff up because he had a lights-out bullpen, then he had a trio of horses coming out of the stable that would be the envy of any other team. And everyone raved about, September baseball under Craig, and then all of a sudden October came, and, well, let's just say Craig-tober is a real ailment that needs to be treated, because he does not do well in these situations. He does not look good. Going in with Boyd in game one was questionable. He left it. Why is Assad, left out of this? Like, that's a guy that you think is going to go. He's been pretty good for him, and they leave him out of the mix. Like, I don't understand some of the decisions that Craig made. I don't understand Craig in general. And, well, quite frankly, I don't think I want to. He's a disturbing individual. But yeah, he's not looking. I'll agree with you. Like, Counsell's playing checkers and Murph's playing chess. The whole gambit with Priester. Like, I thought going in that game two was going to be a bullpen game. That was my belief going into the series, and it proved that way. And then everyone thinks that Priester is going to come in and be the bulk guy. And then they send him out there to warm up, and then they sit him, and he had, have him throw his bullpen at 11 o'clock at night and send him out for game three. And that's the plan all along. Like, that's brilliant.
Yeah, it was a really savvy move by Pat Murphy there. And speaking of Priester, do you think we see a regular starters start from Priester tonight, or could this be like a bullpen light game where we get three or four innings out of Priester and then Pat Murphy goes to the big arms coming out of the bullpen?
Well, it depends. One, how well is he pitching? How efficient is he being? Like, if he's cruising through his innings and, 10, 11 pitches, they'll probably let him run for a while. But you're also going into this coming on off an off day. Your bullpen's pretty rested. It's the playoffs anyway, so you're going to be a little bit shorter with a leash. So it all depends on how he's pitching. If he's going in there and mowing dudes down, they'll ride him for a little bit. But you've got a healthy, you've got a rested pen, a really good pen. They're going to use it when the time is right.
Talking with Andrew Wagner of Forbes Sports, our Milwaukee baseball insider here on The Fan. What's the status of Jackson Chourio? He came out of that game after Brandon, John, and I all noticed. He makes that catch along the left field line late in that game a couple nights ago, and then he's subbed out for Brandon Lockridge. Precautionary move with him tweaking that hamstring in game one of this series, or something to watch for Brewers fans as the series moves along?
Well, Big Mac reported yesterday that Murph had said that Chourio had felt it again, and that's why they made the move. But at the same time, he was on deck in the eighth inning when Joey Ortiz was up. So I'm not entirely sure what the situation is there. I mean, we'll get an update today. We'll hear from Pat Murphy around 2 o'clock. You know, I would guess, you know, they said day to day yesterday, but my guess is he'll be in the lineup today.
Drew, I got a question about the when you talk about Pat Murphy versus Craig Counsell, it was interesting to see Jacob Mizorowski come into the game. And I thought it was a bit of a gamble. I use that term loosely, obviously, with Pat Murphy bringing in Jacob Mizorowski in a 3-3 tie ball game and the struggles that he had, you know, really since the middle of August when he came off of the IL. But what kind of role do you think they're carving out for Jacob Mizorowski? Is this lining up to be one of those postseason weapons that really helps unlock their hopefully a deep playoff run?
According to some in the internet universe, his role is to be a giant dork, I believe is what Blog Boy out of Chicago called him.
They don't like him celebrating for some reason.
Yeah, God forbid anyone have fun. I think they went into this series with that role for him in mind. Like, I think for as much as they planned out this game 2 bullpen strategy, I think Mizorowski was the guy they had in mind for. They found the right pocket for him to go in and be effective, the right stretch, and he just excelled with it. You know, if he can repeat that, and we probably won't see him again this series unless it goes 5 games, that's a huge weapon to have. I mean, we saw that work wonders in 2018 when the Brewers went to the playoffs with basically 2 starting pitchers and relied on their bullpen the rest of the way. If he can do that, if he can be the guy that can come out and give you a couple of innings and mow dudes down, I mean, that's huge.
Do you think now that as I've heard some refer to him, the baby giraffe has kind of found his legs, that we see him in even more high leverage situations? Does he start a game at some point in the playoffs, or is that his spot? Like, there's a bullpen game, and he's kind of the bulk reliever that comes in and eats up 3 innings for you somewhere mid-game.
I mean, yeah, I think he's going to at least get one more chance out of the pen if he pitches well like that. Maybe they give him a spot start. Who knows? Listen, they're playing this on a day-by-day thing. You know, they're kind of mixing and matching their pitchers as they go. You know, we've heard Pat Murphy say it. We've heard Matt Arnold say it. Like, it's all hands on deck every day, all series. I think once they get through this one, they'll sit down and go over the list, figure out who to use when. It also depends on who they're facing in the next round, what kind of, you know, lineup those dudes have. I think the pitching is going to be controlled chaos, I think, is the best way to put it the rest of the way.
That is a good way to put it. What is the emphasis for this baseball team? I brought up the Yankees coming back last night against the Blue Jays and capitalizing on a couple of uncharacteristic mistakes that the Blue Jays made. I said to John and to Brandon earlier, if I'm Pat Murphy, I'm showing the highlights of that game in the clubhouse today as part of my pregame speech or whatever he does and says, don't do this. These guys let up. They played uncharacteristic baseball, took the foot off the throat, and they gave the Blue Jays life. Don't do this. Do you think that's, even if it's not a video clip included, do you think that's the message from Pat Murphy to his baseball club today, that we just keep going out and doing what we do and don't let these guys get any breath in them?
No, that's exactly it. I don't think it needs to be said. That's been their mantra since day one. You know, win tonight. We hear it over and over again from those guys. That's the motto. That's the ethos. Win tonight. The Brewers can't afford to make those kind of mistakes. They can't afford to let up on the gas because they don't have the studs like Aaron Judge to make up for those mistakes. They've got to go out and they've got to play flawless baseball. They got to play hard-ass defense. They got to be opportunistic at the plate. You know, they got to play smart ball. They don't have a lot of room for error, and so far they've lived up to it.
Wags, you said you're making your way down right now to Wrigley Field, just across the border.
Just across the border. It already smells.
I was just going to ask you if there's an odor. I knew you were going to go there, Wags. I know you too well. Are you seeing a lot of cars with, like, Brewers flags or other indications? Because we were wondering if Brewers fans would show out even more than Cubs fan, which, by the way, was greatly exaggerated. I know a lot of people were worried that it was going to be like 50-50 or 60-40 in terms of the representation of Cubs fans at AmFam Field. It was like 80-20 at best, I think closer to 90-10. How do you think, and are you getting any indication of how in what kind of numbers Brewers fans are going to show up for this one down at Wrigley?
I mean, there's mostly trucks on the freeway.
Okay.
And, you know, Chicago traffic is just full of bad drivers and bad traffic. So, haven't seen anything yet. I mean, I know they had that special Amtrak train this morning. I'm guessing that was pretty full. And this is kind of a tired storyline, the whole Wrigley North. They're, like, traveling. Like, the stadiums are less than 100 miles apart. Of course there's going to be a lot of opposing fans in each stadium, right? There's a lot of fans that live across the borders. Like, right. it stands to reason there's going to be a good chunk of them. I will say, you know, Monday night was definitely the smallest Cubs crowd that I've seen in a while. I mean, it was basically a pocket behind the visitor's dugout and then scattered throughout the stadium. But you're always going to have a bunch. You know, people talking the other day about how game 163, it was 50% Brewers fans, and they're not wrong. But also remember, that game was basically went on sale with 24 hours notice. You know, it wasn't, these teams are selling their playoff tickets in August or to their season ticket holders. Game 163 was a one-off thing, or 24 hours notice, a Monday afternoon, a work day, except for the, 85% of the people that don't have a job and go to Wrigley. What was the Ilias speech?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to guess there's going to be Brewers fans there. It'll be vast majority Cubs fans, just like it was vice versa in Milwaukee. Yeah, there's always going to be a good number of the opposing team's fans at each game.
The Brewers up 2-0 in this series, talking with Andrew Wagner of ForbesSports.com. Drew, it's been two different games, two different types of wins for this Brewers team. They won 9-3 in game one. They didn't hit a home run. They knocked the ball all around, chased Matthew Boyd, as you mentioned, after just getting two-thirds of an inning complete. Then in game two, they use three home runs to score all of their runs, including with two outs, and their bullpen shuts down the last 15 hitters for the Chicago offense. What has stuck out to you? What's been the biggest surprise, in your opinion, on how this series has gotten to where it's at now with the Brewers with the 2-0 commanding lead?
Yeah, honestly, I'm not surprised by it. You know, it's funny because, like, it kind of feels like the Brewers are trolling everybody. You know, the big storyline the last couple of weeks has been, well, the Brewers' offense, it can't translate to postseason success. Like, you need to hit home runs, blah, blah, blah. They don't swing was the Craig Counsell storyline going into game one. And what happens? The Brewers are out there first pitch hacking, and they put nine on the board without hitting a home run. And then you hear, well, you know what? They still need to hit home runs to win in the postseason. They can't do that, blah, blah, blah. What happens? Game two, they go out there and they're crushing the ball. They're capable of doing both. You know, they don't rely on the home run to win, but they can hit home runs. Like, this concept that the Brewers can't hit homers is kind of silly. Just because you don't doesn't mean you can't.
Wags, how you doing? John Kuhn here. I want to ask you one quick hypothetical question as we have been pondering this today. If you had to trade Giannis and could guarantee the Brewers win a World Series, do you think that's a deal that should be done?
Like, genie comes out of a lamp, Wags, and says, you can have a World Series, but you got to give up, you got to trade Giannis. Are you doing that?
Listen, I would trade Giannis just so I wouldn't have to deal with any more of this crap and shams about is he going to leave. Like, I tweeted out the other day, shams has blocked me now, but I tweeted the other day, you know, coming up on SportsCenter, shams will tell us how a short Brewers postseason run would impact Giannis's future in Milwaukee. So, yeah. I would trade Giannis for a box of donuts right now.
Giannis is a part owner of the Brewers. These two things are not unconnected. So maybe a short playoff run.
Two people I enjoy trolling. Cubs and Packers fans and Shams.
I'm surprised to hear Shams is that sensitive that he would block you for something so great. I mean, that's only boosting his career. I mean, that's amazing.
When he was first getting started, he would come up and cover Bucks games all the time at the Bradley Center. And I always got stuck sitting next to him on those aluminum risers that were behind the basket. And the guy would sit there and, like, shake his foot the whole time so violently that the entire riser and table would shake the entire game. And that right there, I'm like, I don't know who this kid is. I'm done with him. And that stands today because I am petty and I am shallow and I hold a grudge.
That's who he is, and that's why we love him. And he covers the Brewers for us and for the folks over at ForbesSports.com. That is our Milwaukee baseball insider, Andrew Wagner. Find him on Twitter, and like he said, we'll hear from Pat Murphy at 2. I'm sure there will be some updates at By Andrew Wagner over there on the Twitters. Wags, always appreciate the time, my man. Have a good trip down to Wrigley Field. Hopefully you make it through all that
before
traffic.
Before I go, Rami, yeah. Before I go, now that I know that Kuhn is here, I am hereby on the record waving the white flag for Sunday. I am acquiescing. It's going to be a bloodbath. I'll be wearing a Mason Crosby.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jersey at some point next week on the Crosby Show. Like, I've given up all hope. All I can ask is that somehow the Packers find a way to, like, game tackle Mike Brown and eliminate him from.
But you got Joe Flacco. What do you mean? What are you waving the white flag for? You trading for Joe Flacco? Yeah.
Yeah, I need a drink after just hearing that.
Thanks, Wags. Appreciate you, man. And he joined us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. That is Andrew Wagner. Again, follow him on Twitter at @ByAndrewWagner for all the latest on the Brewers as they get ready for Game 3. We do got to get to a quick break. On the other side, I got to ask John Kuhn, is the NFL getting soft?
Mm-hmm.
Politically correct? What? We'll discuss right after this. It's 9 to noon with John Kuhn, me, Rami Makhlouf. We're on 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan, and powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.